from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Final hour here, WEEI Boston Sports Original. I am Christian Arkin. Andy Hart here as well. He's not here, but he's here in your airwaves as well. Coming to you from parts unknown. In his dorm room, it looks like.
it's a spare bedroom.
It does have a little bit of a dorm feel to it, does it not? Am I alone?
No,
on
it
this?
Does. It looks like a dorm. Right?
Yeah, it does kind of look like a dorm. There's nothing wrong
with
that.
Bunch of PBRs laying around.
Right? Yeah, a couple beer boxes laying around there.
I also saw a dog in the background.
Oh, you did?
Right there.
I didn't see a dog.
Where's that? Hey, Bo.
Oh, yeah, there's a dog.
Hey, Bo.
Hey, doggy. What's the dog's name? Bo?
Bo.
Good name for a dog.
B-E-A-U?
Oh, hell no. B-O, like Bo Jackson, the greatest athlete that ever walked the freaking planet.
Very nice. Not named after Bo Nix.
A crappy quarterback.
Future rookie of the year, Bo Nix. What you just heard there was the end of the game. It was a very exciting game to kick off the NFL season last night. Chiefs and the Ravens. You had a photo finish at the end. You had Taylor Swift in this denim outfit. She was looking good last night, I thought.
Easy.
Getting very, very pumped up for her boyfriend, who didn't do much in the game, but the Chiefs end up coming away with the win. And the Patriots now it's not the next game, obviously. The next game's tonight between the Packers and the Eagles. Patriots play on Sunday. Thoughts, reflections, how'd that game last night make you feel or not feel about the Patriots and their lot in life this season here? Two of the top teams in the AFC going toe-to-toe to kick off the season.
It made me want to see Drake May more than I already wanted to see Drake May because I watched two elite athletic throw on the run, throw off platform, make their offensive line better with their own playmaking ability quarterbacks go at it, and that is modern football. You know, that was Gerard Mayo said it on the Godshaw podcast, right? That's the most important thing, the ability to keep plays alive, to make plays with your legs, extend plays. That was on display last night. Both those guys do that at a really high level, and I'm not going to see that on Sunday for the Patriots, and I don't know what Sunday or Thursday I will see that for the Patriots moving forward. So I had just gotten over the disappointment that Drake May's not going to play, and last night reminded me why I want Drake May to play.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair way of putting it. I think we know what we're getting for the most part with Jacoby Brissett. He may surprise people, maybe better than people expect, because he has been better than he looked certainly in the preseason, in the previous couple seasons when he did get into games. But I don't think anybody's expecting him to go out there and blow doors and light up the Bengals and elevate this offense in any real demonstrable way. It's a low bar, a very low bar so low a baby could crawl over it, I think, but that's not the point. The point is that you got a long way to go before you're in the class of teams that we saw last night and even tonight as well. I mean, it's two NFC teams, obviously, but you're seeing four of the better teams in the NFL getting started here, and this is the time of year when the Patriots usually had a game in the opener. You'd see them coming back from a Super Bowl win or an AFC championship game appearance or something along those lines, and they were always part of the conversation. Right now, they are about as far away from it as you could possibly be.
And I don't know what was worse, when I had QB envy, because I'll have QB envy again tonight,
mm-hmm.
But I had it from a perspective of, we just don't have a guy like that. I have Mac Jones and I have Bailey Zappi. We just don't have it. I'm sorry, it's not in the cards. It's not in the rot. You can look over there. There's nobody that plays like these quarterbacks play. I don't know if that was worse or having it now, knowing it is over there, and like the Ferrari is stuck in the garage. Can we take the Ferrari out of the garage? I know we have a Ferrari that can win the race now. Why are we keeping it in the garage and we're still driving this? I'm not going to even fill that in because then you never know who a sponsor is. But a lesser vehicle. A lesser vehicle will be in this race when we have a Ferrari that I want to see. So, and I do think it's actually worse because I didn't like Mac. I didn't think, you know, you had this QB room of weak-armed guys. Like, I didn't want to see him play. Didn't want to see Zappi or Mac at the end. Now I want to see May. I think he has the ability, and it's almost worse knowing that he's available, but he's not going to be out there.
Is there anything that can happen, short of an injury, obviously, because we don't want to speculate on guys getting hurt,
no.
But could Brissett go out there and just be so bad, so out of sync, three picks in the first half, something like that? Is there any way we see Drake May?
I mean, three picks in the first half, I guess, because I think then you'd probably paint it as, we thought his shoulder was fine, but he clearly has an injury, and that led to the, because he's never played like that kind
right.
of thing. Otherwise, no, I don't think you can, because that's a bit of a clown move, right? If you say Drake May isn't ready, and Jacoby Brissett goes out and has one bad half, and you yank him for Drake May, that is, cue the circus music, that is turning your season into a debacle in the first game.
Yeah, I mean, really, that's sort of what, they're very conscious about that, right? Like, they're very concerned and very conscious about the idea of, well, you know, the worst thing we can do is put May out there before he's ready, and then have
right.
to yank him back out, right? Like, everybody keeps saying that, like, that's the worst possible outcome, like, that's step one into ruining your young quarterback, which I don't necessarily agree with. I think that you can put a guy out there, have him struggle, and then bench him and put somebody else in, and then go back to him later in the season. That's mm-hmm. happened before with guys. That happened with Tua, and Tua was able to overcome that and be a productive quarterback in the NFL. I think if you're good enough and you have the tools and abilities to go out there and win, if it doesn't happen right away, it's not the end of the world. Even if they end up saying, you know, we're gonna give the guy a break here, we're gonna give the kid a break, put Brissett back in, or whatever it is that they end up doing, I don't think that's gonna be some, you know, apocalypse here for the career of Drake May. I feel like if you think that, you think very little of him, both mentally and physically.
I think, quite honestly, both sides to some degree throughout this whole debate of who should play, why should play, why shouldn't play, whatever, have been overdramatic. It's football. They're not the first team that had a young quarterback that they weren't sure whether he should play or not play, right? Like, this has been done before. It's not the end of the world. And I do get back to, if he breaks, he's probably breakable. But mm-hmm. I feel like there's been an sort of a over-dramatization from everybody. It's the worst. We think it's the worst thing if we put him out there and he's not ready. Why? Take him off. You're going to do that with Laydon Robinson. You're going to do that with Jalen Polk. If Jalen Polk stinks and is like running into people on his routes and dropping balls and just over his head, Zach Sudfeld. Remember that tight end
yes,
who everybody loved
I remember
and then he
Sudfeld,
sucked?
Yeah.
Then Jalen Polk will come out, correct? And they'll put a different wide receiver in? Or, you know, we've seen it with running backs. If you fumble Ramondre Stevenson, guess what you're going to do? You're going to sit for a while.
Yep.
You're going to learn. Did that crush him? Did that ruin his? I believe they just gave him a nice contract, and he's their lead back and the centerpiece of their offense.
Well, they gave everybody a nice contract, but yeah.
Okay, to be fair. But my point is, everybody, I mean, not everybody, but a lot of people have ups and downs, right? You sound like Belichick there. You know, the guy that's missing here, remember when he was doing the transaction, is obviously Matthew Judon that
yeah.
they didn't want.
Like, he's literally the only one they didn't pay. Like, it's not, I'm not trying to sound like Bill Belichick, just telling you. He's the only one who didn't get a contract.
That's not
Almost
true.
Everybody else did.
Miles Bryant is gone.
Oh, yeah, right. I forgot about Miles Bryant.
See, there's a couple.
Okay.
But no, I just, guys are going to win and lose jobs. Young guys are going to win and lose jobs. Isn't that the business? Isn't, like, if you can't take that, that'd be like an actor who, well, I'm not going to try out for that part. I might not get it. They might tell me no. Well, then you're probably not cut out for the acting business if you can't try out for a part because you're afraid they're going to not give you the job. If, like, there's just a lot of drama in this. Too much drama. Just play. It's football. It's football.
I liked that, speaking of drama, I liked what Isaiah Likely had to say after the game. We had that at the end of our little montage there from the game. He came out and said, you know, that was the worst game we're going to play, which is the first game. I don't know if that's a statement you want to make in week one, but he did make it. And he said, if this is the best they got, then good luck in the playoffs.
This is probably the worst game we're going to play all year. So if this is the best that they got, I mean, good luck in the postseason.
I'll tell you what, I like the bravado from a team that's never won anything. I do think that's pretty impressive. It's a lot of the lack of self-awareness there, but I do enjoy that.
Against the two-time defending Super Bowl champions, a Hall of Fame coach, and a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah, good luck, guys.
What are you doing? They've already proven how good they can be time and time again in various ways. And they were the better team last night, and they made some mistakes. I think Kansas City
almost gave the game away, I think, yeah.
No, they definitely almost gave the game away. There was a chance they lost that football game, but I also think there's a really good chance that Travis Kelce has better days ahead. And all of them, the entire team.
Hollywood Brown didn't play. I agree with you.
There was the turnover, the interception. They're going to play much better football games in Kansas City and probably Baltimore. It's like we said earlier, I believe Gerard Mayo, your team's going to get better, but so is Baltimore and Kansas City. And after tonight, I think Green Bay and Philadelphia will get better because that's what football teams do. And if you don't get better, well, then you probably got to consider the coach is going to go.
Yeah, probably. One thing that really pissed me off last night in that game, when Mahomes had that pass batted up in the air and he caught it and Chris Collinsworth had an orgasm on the air. I thought that was ridiculous. It was a 2-yard gain, guys. Come on. It's not like they picked up the first down. It was impressive, right? The ball goes straight up in the air. It was a bad pass. I mean, it got swatted up in the air. Mahomes catches it, falls forward like a yard or two. And Chris Collinsworth, you would have thought that he had just busted like a 99-yard touchdown run. That was ridiculous. Like, I understand giving Mahomes his credit and props where it's due and everything. It's not like he had a ton of great plays in that game, but my God, what was so special about that it like a legit, I mean, he was drooling on the air after that. That was ridiculous.
That has become modern national color commentators, right? They just gush about the star players. They exaggerate how good they're hype men. They just build up the hype, and I guess that's probably what the league and the networks want. Build up stars, make the game seem even more entertaining than it is, like create FOMO and you know, people can't miss the action because this guy's so great, that guy's so great. They all do it. He is the ultimate hype. I just noticed something.
Yes?
Are they no longer, did they not do PFF?
What do you mean?
Did they have the PFF like starting lineups? Usually NBC with Chris Collinsworth, who's part owner of PFF, when they do like the left guard below his name, it says PFF ranked, you know, 3 out of 37.
Oh, yeah. Did they have that? I don't know if they had that last night. That's a good question. I'm not sure if they did or I can't remember. I don't think so. I was watching the game in studio here. It was on the replay of it, and I don't remember seeing that. I can't say for sure if they did or they didn't, but I don't think so.
I wonder if that relationship came to an end.
Could be.
Which is great for everybody. Maybe NBC realized how stupid PFF is.
Yeah, it could be. Also, you know, I mean, it's the first game of the year, so maybe they don't have that going until they have a little bit more data to work with.
You could have a little asterisk last year's rankings or something. I just feel like if you're going to do that, you would have it all year long.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're no longer affiliated, and that'd be a good thing for everyone because those grades are not good.
Yeah. Also, pregame, I like this. Both Rodney Harrison and Devin McCourty hating on the idea of the Chiefs three-peating, that was very petty, and I enjoyed that as well.
And they should.
Right.
That's the one thing I love about Patriot Dynasty people and Belichick. I've always appreciated their pettiness and their vindictiveness and ability to hold a grudge and all. They should absolutely hate the idea of the Chiefs three-peating and becoming something that no one else in football history was.
Yeah.
They absolutely should feel that way. Now, that being said, good luck.
You think it's going to happen. I know. It probably will. But, it was nice to see that. I think it's the most relatable thing about the Patriots of that era is their pettiness and their grudge holding, 100%. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get to your phone calls, and we'll give you 3 reasons why the Patriots can go over 4.5 wins and 3 reasons why they'll go under 4.5 wins. And we will also have This Week in Social Media coming up in just a few minutes. It's all coming up right after Tom.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Carol tells you what's trending. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcan, Andy Hart here with you, taking you up until Red Sox pregame. It's the Red Sox and the White Sox. We haven't talked much Red Sox here, but Rich Hill, we hardly knew ye. They decided after, I think, four or five games that was enough of Rich Hill. I think you probably could have figured that out before then. The only real news that we have here with the Red Sox. I hope they beat the White Sox just for...
No, can they just lose 2 out of 3, please?
And just end it.
And then just put the nail in the coffin.
But we got to keep running the game, you know? Like, we have to keep doing the games.
But I don't want to torture myself anymore. I don't want to watch this.
This team has been torturing their fans.
I got to produce them.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we still got to be in here and do it, so we might as well. I don't know. But, yeah, it's been brutal lately. It's been a brutal, brutal stretch for your Boston Red Sox. And Rich Hill, somehow, that whole thing, that gambit didn't work out of signing the 44-year-old guy off the couch and having him come in and pitch meaningful innings in games where they still were somewhat competitive, but yeah, it didn't end up working for him, and they called up some kid from Worcester, so we'll see what happens there. Anyway,
you should have led with the fact that he replaced a pitcher with a perfect game less than a week ago.
That's true. That was last weekend, yeah, and it was probably the highlight of his time, honestly.
That was the plan.
Multiple home runs. He walked in a bunch of runs the other day. Not to rip on Rich Hill. I mean, he's doing his best here, and there was no reason why he should have been signed in the first place, but he has been designated for assignment. All right, let's go to the phone, 617-779-7937. Then we'll take you to the spin zone. Ralph is in Cranston. Go ahead, Ralph.
Hey, guys, I agree on a lot. The Red Sox lose three in a row, and let's get out with our life and quit the torture. You know, you guys, one of you said that after watching last night, you wanted to see May. I echo that. I mean, who's looking forward after seeing some nice, there's some good quarterbacks in this league. Jacoby Brissett, what is the sense of it? Put this kid out there. I don't know if you could find a fan who'd want to see Brissett. And, you know, Brady came out and said that, you know, I'd like to see him learn under someone. He was over Brissett. Brady came in here. Half the people were shocked they even drafted him. And the others were shocked he made the roster. He was a 6th-round pick. He was a phenomenon when we finally knew what he was. But it was a different situation with him. It just didn't matter. You know, like, I mean, who thought really he was going to be Tom Brady? But this situation here, give the fans a little bit of fun. You know, we don't want to see Brissett. And one last thing, there's a game tonight. You know, I know it'll never happen, guys, but I said a few years ago, with the injuries that are happening, especially with these Thursday night games, mm-hmm. I would like to see a Friday night game other than, you know, instead of a Thursday night game. And to me, if you wanted to do it, I would do a Friday, a Saturday too. You got tons of people watching the game, and the rest on a Sunday, only because you see these teams play on a Sunday, they have to play on a Thursday. you know, injuries are going to happen. That 1 or 2 days more rest they get is, to me, is great. And you see a lot of people loving these Friday night games, you know?
Yeah, Ralph, thanks for the call. I'm not sure if the way to counteract guys getting injured from playing too much is to add more games to the schedule on different days of the week. But I do understand what he means, having it Thursday as opposed to Friday. Saturday, they do play Saturday games late in the season. Friday, I think, is just like around Christmas is the only time you ever see the Friday night game. And the Thursday night games, I mean, those are not going anywhere. So I understand the sentiment. I don't necessarily think that's something that the league gives a rat's ass about. If they did, they wouldn't have extended it to 17 games, looking to make it 18 now in the future. Like, there's no stopping this train, right? Like, I mean, this thing's chugging along, and they're not going to slow it down or try and stop it for any reason. They're still trying to grow the game. That's why they're playing the game in Brazil tonight. You know, that's why they got these games all over the world. They're still trying very much to grow a game that is making them all billionaires. So, you know, this is the way it goes. This is big business. This is big money. I wouldn't expect there to be any sort of pullback anytime soon.
Two things off Ralph's call. First, if they get what they want with the 18 games, it is already being reported that Labor Day weekend will be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday NFL games.
Okay.
That's how
they
open the season. And the second aspect, though, there is, I don't know where this stands, but it was always a respect / avoidance of, like, monopoly rules. I forgot what antitrust rules. Like, giving respect to Friday Night Lights, high school football, especially in places like Texas and Pennsylvania and even here in New England. Mm-hmm. I'll be, after this game, you know, show, I'll be going to a Friday night football game. And that's why the Saturday games are usually later in the year when college football is winding down or has some bye weeks or not everybody's playing. I don't know where all that stands in terms of, you know, do they care to not ruin Friday night football in certain places where it's a hotbed, or would that cause problems for them? Would politicians get involved? I don't know. But that was always a part of that. Friday was for high school. Saturday was for college. Sunday and the other days were for the NFL.
Yeah. By the way, I heard that they're either moving or canceling a lot of these Friday night games because of the mosquitoes. Did you hear about that?
Well, they moved one to yesterday at like 4. Middleborough Aponequit played, I believe, at 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon or 3:30 yesterday afternoon, which I get it. You're trying to protect people, whatever, but that sucks. If you're a high school kid and you've been looking forward to the season opener all summer, you get your all, you know, in the weight room, you're all hot and bothered. And then they're like, oh, no, we're actually not going to play under the lights on Friday night. It's going to feel a lot like a JV game at 3:30 on a Thursday. And, oh, by the way, your parents probably can't come because they have jobs and they just found out their kid is playing at 3:30, not at 7 o'clock. Like, I hate it. As far as I know, most of the schools around here right now, like, we're playing at 7 o'clock. But, yeah, you can't spray. You can't make people sign a waiver that says you understand you're outside and there might be a chance a mosquito could bite you. You can't put up some sort of bug zapper on the light pole. I don't even know, but I hate it.
Yeah, I don't love it either, but I also understand the you know, the liability aspect of it.
Oh, sure.
You know, if someone gets bit by one of these West Nile mosquitoes, then all of a sudden you got a real problem there, and the school could end up paying for it, which, I agree with you on all the other stuff, but I do sort of see why they're taking it seriously. At any rate, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Earlier in the show, we went down the schedule and we gave you all of our predictions for how this team's going to do this year. None of us went over 4 wins. I was at 3, TC was at 3, Andy Hart was at 2, but right now we are going to take you to the spin zone and add in some previously undiscussed factors that may end up being advantages here for your New England Patriots as we go to the spin zone.
Spin zone.
Spin zone.
Spin zone. Spin
zone. You spin my head right. It's the spin zone with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
All right, now when we did our initial schedule, we weren't taking injuries into account. We took a lot of things kind of at face value here. Andy Hart, give me the spin on why this team could maybe win more than 4.5 games.
So I think the obvious one or the easiest one is this defense that they think is going to be good isn't good, it's great. And Christian Gonzalez is Sauce Gardner. And he every week says, Jamar who? Tyreek who? Debo who? And he shuts down the biggest weapon on every opposing team, Bill Belichick style, make them play, make them do things they don't want to do, don't let them succeed with their best player. And you get elite pass rush out of Keon White and Dietrich Wise and Josh Uche and Anthony Jennings and Ox and all these guys coming together to make plays, and we have just underrated the talent and underrated the ability in 2024 for a defense to dominate on an NFL field. This defense dominates. It's historically good, and they ride it to like six wins.
Yeah, listen, I think that that's not out of the question, honestly. I think that there's a chance here that if there's carryover, like the kind of carryover that they're hoping they're going to get from last year and the Belichick years into these Gerard Mayo era of Patriots football, it's all about the defense. I mean, that's really all it's about. And in the later years of Bill Belichick, that's all he was about, really. I know he was doing offensive line and sort of stretching himself out pretty thin with his other stuff, but really it was all about the defense, and that's what he cared about. That's who he entrusted, you know, his son and Gerard Mayo to kind of run the thing under him, but it was still his defense, and it's not his defense anymore. But when it comes to game planning, when it comes to personnel, when it comes to understanding the system and keeping it going and the continuity of it, there's a good deal of that here. I mean, Dante Hightower, we'll see what kind of coach he is, played in this defense. DeMarcus Covington is someone who has worked under Mayo. Like, you have guys here who understand what worked and maybe what didn't work, and I think Gerard Mayo being a defensive-minded head coach, that's not what I wanted when they were going through the process of hiring him or hiring a new head coach. I was hoping they'd go offense. But the fact that they went defense, and not just defense, but a continuation of the defense and the defensive staff that was so good here for so long, I think could be sneaky. I don't know if it's going to be better than it was under Belichick, but I think it could be as good. And if it's as good, I think that could really surprise some people, because no one's expecting anything from this team. Like, defensively, maybe more so than on offense, but I don't think people are looking at this Patriots defense going, oh, yeah, we're really screwed. This Gerard Mayo defense is coming to town here. Like, that was a Belichick thing, and I think that they have the opportunity to really surprise people. All right, spin it again. What else you got?
Number two, another obvious one. Oh, I forgot to tell you, by the way, I bought a quick pick for tonight's lottery. It's $750 million. So if I hit on that, it will be your show. You can have it.
Thank you.
You can call it whatever you want. Christian Arkin in the afternoon. Keep it. But the Patriots hit the lottery with Drake May. He is him sooner rather than later. He gets in week two, or he gets in week five, and he just takes the team by the horns, and we're like, whoa. This guy is special. He's C.J. Stroud combined with Michael Jordan, combined with Wayne Gretzky, combined with, I don't even know, somebody else.
You mean Michael Aaron Jordan, Judge. The basketball player, not the guard on the
not
Patriots.
Not the guard.
Okay,
no. I'm telling you, he's a GOAT. He's an all-time great, and you know it from, you know, the second game he starts, and he just lifts not only the team, the offense, but the region, because we've all seen it at all levels. If you have the quarterback that is really him, to use the word people like, that changes everything. You win games. And is that a total impossibility? No, it is not. He could be, actually, I'll give you a better name. Drake May is Caitlin Clark. Boom. The Fever are in the playoffs. She could win the MVP. She changed the whole league. She changed the way the sport looks. Everything. If Drake May is him, the Patriots will win at least seven games.
I hope that I hope that he's as good as she is, certainly. But I hope that every time someone touches him, there's not a million people all crying on social media about it like there is with Caitlin Clark. I got to tell you, that whole thing. I like Caitlin Clark. I hate her fans. I think her fans are the biggest bunch of babies I've ever heard in my life. It's like every single time she gets fouled by anyone. And you know what it always is too? You know what pisses me off the most about this? Is that it's these same people who are like, how come there's no physicality in the NBA anymore? I remember the Bad Boys Pistons. These guys couldn't play back in the 80s and 90s. And now Caitlin Clark goes out there, gets bumped, you know, and knocked to the ground or something once in a while. And it does happen maybe a little bit more than it should, but she's a hotshot player. So whatever. And everyone's like, oh, man, that's so disrespectful. Oh, you need to stop doing that. She's a superstar. You can't touch her. And it's like, shut the bleep up. It's a contact sport. You know, this is the way it works. She's a hot shot. They're going after her. She invites it, by the way. She's out there talking smack all the time. She fouls people hard, too. I love that they go after her. And I love that she feeds off of it. I think that's a great part of all this. But people bitch about it so much. It's pathetic. Oh, my God, that drives me nuts. I hate that. Sorry. Little sidetrack there.
Well, just I need to retort, because you're a bit one-sided there. First of all, she gets hit in the back. It would be defenseless receiver or roughing the quarterback every single play in the National Football League.
Sure, they get whistled. I mean, it's not like she
barely.
They call fouls on these people when they foul her. Come on.
There is a bigger group of baby babies than Caitlin Clark's fans. They're called the other WNBA players who, for some reason, are so, like, offended or whatever that Caitlin Clark can come in and be good. They all circled the wagons against her before she was even in the league. Oh, she's gonna learn. She's playing with real women, and she's gonna get hers, and there's gonna be a comeuppance. I must have missed the comeuppance, because the only thing that I see coming up is the Fever on the playoffs and her stats, because she's the best player in the league, and they all are haters,
yeah,
just like you.
They are, and I like that they are. I think that that's a good thing. That makes it better for her. She's
losers.
Overcoming that, and she's thriving in this environment. That makes it a good thing. I don't understand why that bothers so many people.
Well,
I really
it pisses
don't.
Me off that they hate her, they treat her like crap, and they're going to make money off her.
What do you care?
Because it's rude.
What if it's rude? Oh, we're worried about being rude now.
Be appreciative of your lot in life.
Please, come on. They should go after her twice as hard, I think.
Oh, that's a good idea.
She
invites
it.
Let's injure her so people can go back to not talking about the WNBA or giving a rat's ass. They call it the W now.
I don't want anybody getting injured. I didn't say you have to get injured. I'm saying.
Let's go hit her again. Let's show her. Let's blanket party her in the locker room. Teach her a lesson. This is a league for women. Girls aren't going to succeed here. My ass.
By the way, how come there is nobody on that team that ever stands up for her, by the way? Is she not a good teammate? Why doesn't anybody on that team, whenever she gets a hard foul, how come no one's in that person's face going, don't you ever bleep and do that again? That's it, right? Like, Wayne Gretzky had a bunch of bodyguards all throughout his career. Caitlin Clark does not have one.
I don't think they're used to it. Because, honestly, they come to her verbal defense. And, like, Boston and the other girls, like, press conferences, they stand up for her. They say things. They interrupt her when they think she's being too sort of magnanimous. I honestly think they get caught off guard a lot. They don't play street ball, basketball, or, you know, I think with men.
It's going on all year, Andy. Come on. They can't keep getting caught off guard. It's the
I don't
season's
think they
almost
have
over.
It in them. I don't think they have it in them. I don't think it comes naturally. Like, we're hot-headed men. So when we see, you know, Jason Tatum get hacked, Jaylen Brown immediately steps in, right? Like, we're men. We're hotheads. We want to fight. We're, I don't know, it's archaic, barbaric, whatever you want to call it.
They're going after her, so, I mean, not all of them feel that way. It's just their teammates don't seem to want to stand up for
her. There's no doubt. They're
right.
Cheap-shotting her, and you like it. You approve of it.
I do.
Typical.
Absolutely, I do.
5:30 fight.
617-77, there you go. And it's about the WNBA, of all things. 617-779-7937. Do we have one more spin we want to do here on
yes,
how
please.
The Patriots? All right, God, lay it on me, Andy.
So, Jerod Mayo was brought in to change what? The C word, culture, and the culture, the fun, the momentum, the youth movement, whatever it is, just clicks. And you get probably Drake May. This probably ties into the last one, but Drake May, Christian Gonzalez, DeMario Douglas, Jalen Polk, Ramondre Stevenson, still young. The youth of this team takes over and says, yeah, we kind of like being treated differently. We kind of like the new culture. We kind of like having a different boss who cares about us, asks us how our family's doing, comes on our podcast, whatever. And just maybe you catch lightning in a modern, fun, youthful bottle, and all of a sudden they don't even expect it. Maybe they're just kind of playing above their level of talent because it is so fun and it is so different. And I don't know if that's sustainable, but maybe for a spurt in the middle of the season, maybe that can snowball for them.
All right, there you go. There's the spin zone on how this team can actually be better than 4.5 wins. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll come back with This Week in Social Media. All right, the Red Sox are playing tonight, so we do have a little bonus baseball for you coming your way in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll throw it over to Cooper Boardman after that in the Mass Mutual pregame show, Red Sox and the White Sox. The White Sox record this year, 32-109. That is their record. I'm not exaggerating. They're the worst team maybe ever. And the Red Sox have been playing like one of the worst teams ever here since the All-Star break. They are 70-70, a 500 team. They're looking to get up over 500 with a win tonight. Although the way they're playing, this is like an unstoppable force, an immovable object of suck is what you're seeing here tonight. Nick Pivetta, Davis Martin are the starting pitchers, and we'll get to all of that a little bit later on when we talk with Cooper Boardman. But right now, it is time, like it's going to be time every Friday around this time, for This Week in Social Media.
This Week in Social Media with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
All right, This Week in Social Media is here. That's where I round up all the weird things that happened on Twitter, on TikTok, on Instagram, on Snapchat, on Facebook, on Friendster, on MySpace, all those things. And we will start with the obvious one. A big boon for the Instagram community as a one William Belichick has signed up for, as he calls it, InstaFace. Bill Belichick is now on Instagram, and he rang in his new membership with this video.
Hello, everyone. Surprised to see me here? Well, I am, too. Over the past few months and not being with a team, I haven't had the opportunity to express my thoughts at a moment's notice. So now I'm changing that. I tried to join Snapface, but I couldn't find it. I decided this was a good place for me to land so I could talk to you and share what I'm up to, because there's a lot going on. So here I am. Hello, Instaface. See you soon.
Electric.
That's, I mean, more cringy than anything Brady will do this season.
Absolutely. It probably is.
How many takes?
To get that done, I'd say probably like three or four. I don't think, it's not like he had a lot to say there. I mean, it was all sort of, it was probably written out. I bet he had a cue card. I bet Jordan was there holding
a couple cuts there.
There were some edits. Yeah, there were some edits. So, I mean, listen, that's the way people do things now.
But I know this reminded me of every once in a while, my daughter, and me being a girl dad and a good dad, asks me to do a TikTok with her.
Oh.
That's what it felt like. Like, I do it begrudgingly because I don't know why, and you end up looking like a jackass.
What sort of TikTok? Does she have you, like, dancing around, or what does she have doing in these TikToks?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I've done dances.
Really?
I don't think she posts them. I think I've made the rule she can have them, but she can't actually, like, post them.
You know she has, like, a fake account that she posts them all on, probably, that you don't know about.
She probably does.
I'm going to find it. I'm going to find it.
Probably,
and I
they
will,
exist.
I will
they
exploit it.
They absolutely exist. There's no doubt about it.
Sure. Bill Belichick's girlfriend, Jordan Isabella, welcomed him to Instagram the other day. I said that she hadn't posted much this summer. She actually did post something to welcome Bill onto Instagram. It's a picture of them petting a goat. It looks like they're at some kind of, it looks like they're at a football field. I don't know where it is, but there's animals around and there's a goat. And Jordan Isabella says, this is my formal petition for at Bill Belichick to change his handle to at Billy Goat. Welcome to the gram, Billy Goat emoji. That was not the only person to welcome Belichick to Instagram. His former quarterback, Tom Brady, recorded this to welcome the coach.
All right, guys. Party's over. Bill's here. It was a good run, but we got to shut it down. Welcome, coach.
So, Brady,
he's so
there,
much better.
I mean,
so
yeah,
much better.
It is. It's definitely better. Brady has a little bit more of a feel for the social media, I think, than Bill Belichick does. Maybe because he's not 73 years old. Yeah, I think, I forget exactly what point, like, MySpace started to fall out of favor when people stopped doing that. I can tell you exactly when Facebook stopped being cool. That's when everybody's parents got on Facebook. That's when everyone's mom and dad and aunt and uncle and grandpa all started getting on Facebook and seeing your pictures and being like, I don't approve of the things you're doing in college there, mister, blah, 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 blah. That's when Facebook stopped being cool. I think Bill Belichick has just officially made Instagram uncool.
Wouldn't surprise me. I think that's already started with both Twitter and Instagram, or X and Instagram.
Yeah.
I don't think the kids are on those as much.
TikTok and Snapchat.
Yeah, TikTok.
Those are the two big ones.
100%. And I'm on neither, and they probably like it that way.
I started a TikTok account because a friend of mine said, you really got to get on TikTok. You're in media. This is something you have to do. Yep. Little did I know, by the way, that Odyssey doesn't even want us making TikTok accounts. But I started one anyway. I haven't posted anything, so don't come and talk to us here, Ken. But I started it. I opened the thing up. I liked a couple of videos. I closed it. I tried to open it up the next day, and it says, your account's been deleted. And I said, what the hell has it been deleted for? And they thought I was a fake person. They thought I was a bot. They said, we've deleted it because we think you're a bot. I was like, I'm
not a
bot.
You're such a loser. You're a bot.
I'm a real boy.
You weren't active enough.
I guess. I don't know. So I opened another one. I did basically the same thing, and it's not been deleted yet. So I guess they figured out that I'm a real human being.
See you soon.
Thank you, Bill. All right. We have some tweets that were funny this week. This one from Diana Rossini, who says that the wives of the Philadelphia beat reporters are tweeting for them back in Philly and New Jersey because their husbands are not allowed to tweet in Brazil. And that may be Diana Rossini's favorite sidebar story of the week. I hope they let it rip tonight. Hashtag Eagles. Hashtag Packers. Andy, if you were to cover a game in a country where Twitter was not allowed, would you have your significant other tweet on your behalf?
No, I just wouldn't tweet. I wouldn't feel the need.
It's
could
kinda
go
lame.
Without.
I mean, it's a little lame, right? It's like, hey, honey, can you tweet this for me?
The inactives are out, honey. Get them out. Come on. Hurry up.
You mind tweeting about this ankle injury that Darius Slay is dealing with?
Breaking news. Breaking news. City Sal with a plague.
Hey, that was big news. There was also this tweet from the Baltimore Ravens last night after Lamar Jackson threw what they thought was a touchdown. And this tweet is still up, by the way. Baltimore Ravens at Ravens on X. Tune in on NBC. Touchdown. OMG, multiple exclamation points. And the reason why I even mentioned this one is because you're familiar with community notes. You know what community notes are?
Yeah.
Okay, so on Twitter, for those who don't know, on Twitter, when someone makes a wild claim on Twitter and it's just factually incorrect, most of the time, not all the time, because Elon kind of throttles it to suit his own needs and wants sometimes. But sometimes readers all contribute to community notes, and then at the bottom of the tweet, it has a, either correction or sort of a citation or footnote or whatever you want to call it of what the actual truth is. And under this one, it says, touchdown, OMG, tune in on NBC. And the community note is simply, no, it wasn't. which is really, that is a tough community note. And you would think, after saying touchdown, that they would take that tweet down since it was clearly not a touchdown. But if you hear those Ravens players, they all think that he was in bounds. Like, you were clearly out of bounds.
Yep.
There's no question about it. Like, don't be ridiculous. It's one thing when it's really, you can't tell. But when your toe is on the line, you are out of bounds. Everybody saw it. Everybody knows. Take the tweet down.
Yeah, I went to, I think, ESPN this morning, and the headline was something like, Ravens still upset with officials after touchdown overturned. And I'm like, how are you upset?
Right.
You were out of bounds. There's nothing to be upset about. Be upset with Likely for not being able to get his feet in bounds. Did have nice cleats. I had those Dion shoes when I was a kid.
Those were nice, yeah.
Those black and whites, those are sweet.
Those are very, very
nice.
It's
almost hard to get mad at him, though. I mean, his arm, like, fell off two plays earlier.
I thought he broke his shoulder. I legit thought he broke his shoulder, separated his shoulder or something. That's what it looked like two plays earlier. And he's back out there, and he's reaching up for that. That ball was really high. It didn't need to be that high, by the way. And he jumped up and got it, but could not keep 2 feet in. And finally, this is a case of mistaken identity, which I appreciate. Of course, you know, Darius Slay, defensive back for the Philadelphia Eagles, had a lot to say about going to Brazil. Does not want to be there. Does not want to be in a place where he feels like they're not allowed to go out. There's a lot of violence. He said, basically, like, I wish they didn't send us here. I don't feel safe. I don't feel comfortable. I don't like that we're playing this game in Brazil. And before Twitter was banned in Brazil, a lot of Brazilian people had a real problem with that. They said, you know, Darius Slay, we don't care for you and what you have to say about our country. But unfortunately, a lot of that vitriol got directed to the wrong person. It got directed to Giants wide receiver Darius Slayton, to the point where he had to put out a tweet 2 days ago saying, dear people of Brazil, my name is Darius Slayton. I play wide receiver for the Giants. I am not Darius Slay for the Eagles. I am innocent. Crying man emoji, which I just thought was funny. And there you go. That is This Week in Social Media, where we round up all the funny and weird things that happen over the course of the week on all your various social media outlets, cool and uncool alike. All right, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Is Boardman here or is he at Fenway? Do we know?
I believe he's going to be at Fenway.
All right, if he's at Fenway, then we won't bother him. But we will hand off to him in just a few minutes, give you a preview of the Red Sox and the White Sox. Coming your way here in just a few minutes, the Rich Hill news and a couple other Red Sox items before we get to the MassMutual pregame show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, oh, oh.
O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.